Of Genesis in chapter 20. As soon as I grab mine here, we will get ready. Is that what you were worried about? Genesis chapter 20. I am thankful to everyone who was involved in Michelle's shower yesterday. I am so very thankful that God has blessed us in our family, not just with a family that I can thank the Lord for, but a church family that is a blessing to my family. I was overwhelmed. I didn't get to be a part of the shower. They didn't invite me, and that's okay. But I did get to see all the decorations and everything. And when I did, I was thankful that they didn't invite me, because it was definitely not a place I would have been comfortable. But it was very overwhelming just how much work and how much love had been put into just loving on my wife. And so I want to thank the church on her behalf, but also my own, that this is a church that it was just overwhelming. Thank you for that. We're actually going to begin in chapter 21, the very first verse, chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, we will read down through verse 11. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 11, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. Thank you for this time that we can have in your word. Pray that you bless this message and speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. So we finally have it, the fulfillment of the promise. And the Lord visited Sarah. I'm thankful that the Lord visited Sarah. I'm even more thankful that the Lord visited us. He's visited every single one. You say, well, I've never had the experience where the Lord visited me. What are you talking about? Well, the Lord visited the world when he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord has visited you, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you've experienced it or not. The Lord visited you some 2,000 years ago when his son died on a cross. And even before that, when his son was born in the form of a babe, of a virgin, in a manger, in a little town called Bethlehem. God visited you. He has. He's loved you individually. He didn't just love the world. He loved you. And he has visited each and every one of us. He has fulfilled the promise that he made from the beginning. That although man has messed up, I will make a way. I'll make a way. He did that when Jesus came and died on a cross. I hope that you know that. I hope that you don't just know it here, but you believe it here, that your God has visited you. You have the opportunity to be called the son of God, the daughter of God. You can be a child of God because of the fact that God has visited you. He set that precedent many years before here when he visited Sarah as he had said. He did unto Sarah as he had spoken. God is always faithful and always true. He cannot lie. He will never fail you. God is good. He visits us when we need it. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in the hospital, been in a situation where things probably weren't great. I've not ever been, the longest I've been in a hospital, I was just long enough to be put to sleep, wake back up, and get on out. I mean, that's it's me. And, you know, I've actually, those experiences weren't bad. I mean, it wasn't to the point where I was going to go injure myself to go through it again. I'm not going to do that. But I love the nap that I got when, it was good. I'm a pretty hard sleeper regardless. But man, when that was, those were good naps. That's the most I know of the inside of a hospital room. You know, except for when obviously our son was born. But that wasn't me going through the hospital visit at that point. You know, thankfully, I am so thankful for mothers everywhere. You know, it's not Mother's Day, but I think I can just take a moment here to say, may God bless each and every one of you. If you've ever been in a hospital and you've been in a situation where it's been a few days, you know, even those of us who don't, you know, we like to endure our afflictions in solitude. You know who you are. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there are those of us who we prefer to just go through it alone. There are different types of people with different types of sick. I was in a family of seven. We handled sickness very differently. When I got sick, I didn't want my mom. I didn't want anybody there. Just let me sleep it off. I'll come out of my room in 16 hours, and then we'll be good to go. That's how I wanted to go. But then my dad, he's very, very different. If dad got sick, everybody knew it. And all hands were on deck to make sure that everything was good. Whatever it happened to be, it would all had to be in ship shape. And then he would ask for crazy requests. I remember when my dad was sick once in Russia, and he said, I want you to go buy some rolls, some Hawaiian rolls. I said, Dad, we're in Russia. They don't know what Hawaii is, you know, but he's sick. And so you didn't ask questions. He said, no, I saw him at the store down there. I'm 11 years old at the time. And he said he wanted little white rolls. I had never seen them. I had seen the black rolls, rye bread, but he didn't want rye. He wanted white. And he was sick. So I went down to the store I thought he was talking about, and I think it was the one he was talking about, but I did not get the rolls that he was talking about or that he thought he was talking about, because the only thing circular at all I could find was these big, big loaves of rye bread. And so he wanted 15 of them. And so, so I went there with the money. Because Dad was sick, I was going to do it. I was going to be a good son. And I brought back, four bags full of black rye bread. We were eating rye bread so long. It was such a miserable experience. But, you know, Dad ate some just to try to be nice. And I think it made him better. I really do. So, in the end, God worked. But no, different people are different. But even if you're really in a dark time, even those of us who would rather be alone, once it's been long enough, we all understand the power and the joy of a visit, especially someone who you've missed, hasn't been able to be there. And we all, a few years ago during COVID, when you couldn't visit, remember how hard that was. Someone ended up in the hospital, and there was all kinds of awkward and, you know, very sad, depressing situations that took place as a result of that. You know, we don't really understand how important it is that, and how powerful and how wonderful a visit can be until we can't have it or don't have it. And, that kind of puts us where Sarah's been. This promise has been going on for 25 years now. Abraham was 75 when he got the promise of a nation, got the promise of a seed. 25 years. No evidence of it happening. Biology had gone and done its thing, and there was no hope, humanly speaking, that God's promise would come to pass. And yet when God visited her, it all changed. He proved he is the God of the impossible. And that visit, I believe, was the most wonderful visit that God ever did. The fact that he did a miracle and allowed Sarah to have a child of the husband of her youth. And they could see God's promise fulfilled in that. But as is often the case in the aftermath of great blessings, we oftentimes get entitled. We become not deserving of the blessing that we have received. And not that any of us could ever be deserving of the blessing that we have received. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did for us when he died on the cross, there's no way that any of us could ever repay the debt that we owed or the debt that we now have because Jesus paid it for us. But God is just so good and Jesus is just so gracious that he doesn't expect us to pay back that debt. He doesn't. In fact, everything that we do for him is not to pay back the debt that we owe because for salvation. No, that was a free gift, free and clear. What we do for God now, we do out of love and thankfulness because he made a way when there was a debt that we could not possibly pay for on our own. What a blessing. And yet so often, when we receive the greatest blessings, we react probably in the worst way possible. We immediately begin to protect that blessing and to hold it and to get attached to that blessing to the detriment of the will of God elsewhere in our lives. I mean, you think about the parable that Jesus told of the two debtors. One owed 10,000 talents. And of course, the Lord forgave him when he came and said, "Lord, forgive me. I cannot pay that which I owe." The Lord forgave him 10,000 talents. And then that same servant, then it came to pass, he meets someone who owes him 10 pence or just a single day's wage. He would not forgive that one. Why? I've also wondered, why would he do that? What was he thinking? Because all of us could see that from the outside looking in, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But oftentimes, when we are blessed of the Lord, if we don't recognize who blessed us, and if we forget that we are dependent on him, and we forget the gratitude that we should have for him, we get attached to that which we have, forgetting where it came from. And we get so attached to the blessings of God that you can get so irrational to where even though you were forgiven 10,000 talents, you're so greedy that you would demand the one pence that you're owed. You think about it. How many people have you heard who once followed God, but they have one reason or one person, and they're no longer in church today, and they don't want to have anything to do with God because... Well, the pastor one morning, he didn't shake my hand. He looked right at me and didn't shake my hand. And that's, I'm never going to be a part of that ever again. We were shown the greatest love that anyone can be shown when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And you're going to tell me that you're going to walk away and pretend that didn't exist because one person looked sideways at you. I mean... Really, that's the same thing. That you are so complacent with the idea that you were given this love by God that you think that you demand that you be loved in everything and everywhere and that you be number one in everything. It's true. We do. We get so very attached to the blessings of God. And we forget where they came from and from whom they came. And then we demand that life go just as good no matter what we do or how we act. And that, we see here, Sarah, she succumbs to the same trap that we all so often fall in. And people think that the devil and your flesh are most likely to attack during the hard times. But I have found that often the hard times come because we failed the tests that was put before us in the good times, right after the blessings of God. When you think about it, this family is celebrating the gift of God. God has visited this family. He's fulfilled their promises. Abraham declares a feast. This is a family celebration. Then Ishmael has the audacity to be a big brother and to mock and to look sideways at this new child that has come into the family. And, you know, I've heard messages. I've heard all kinds of descriptions saying, well, you know, he had a wicked heart when he was looking at that, and he was looking with malice and murderous intent on. You can't read that in the scriptures. I mean, the kid's 14 years old at this point. I mean, I know I looked at, I made a lot of improper decisions when I was 14 years old with my brothers and sisters. Some to this day, they remind me when I'm there. Like, Joel, you act so nice and mature now, but there was a time, I remember. And they do. They tell me the story, and I'm like, you're right. I was a 14-year-old punk, just like, oh, you know, most 14-year-olds. The teens are not giving me great looks. Ishmael right here, don't look like him. But we are. We're 14. We're going to do that. We're gonna make mistakes. We don't understand it. We're going to do things. Did he have a bad heart? Sure. Should it have ruined the family feast? Should it have ruined the impact of the blessing of God that had just come? And yet it did. One look, one sideways glance, and oh, Sarah's up in arms. She's up in arms. And I think we try to defend her because in verse 12, God says, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. We said, well, you see, God said to listen to her, so she must be doing this with the right spirit and the right heart. And no. God listened to Abraham when Abimelech said, pray unto me, forgive me. God listened to Abraham, and Abraham said, prayed to God, and they were healed. But Abraham wasn't in the right heart. He was in the wrong. You heard two sermons about that if you were here Monday night. You heard two sermons about that this week. It was very clear. Abraham was not in God's will. He was walking by sight, not by faith. He was out of the will of God, yet he prayed and God heard him. Just because God hears you, do not ever take that for an approval on everything going on in your life. Right. Yeah. Don't ever mistake the graciousness and long-suffering of God as a stamp of approval on everything that you are doing. Amen. No, if it was sinful and it was against the word of God before he answered your prayer, it's the same after he answered your prayer. Right. And you still need to get that right. Because God, he's gracious and long-suffering enough to work with us even though we're flawed. If God only answered the prayers of perfect people, guess what? No prayers would be answered. You know, God is always long-suffering and always gracious. None of us is ever perfect. But so don't ever think when it benefits you that I can look at my relationship with God as a meritocracy, as something that, we understand if I'm doing good, God's not more likely to answer my prayer. Huh. Right, because God's will is God's will.
Right.
So God, it bears to reason that in most cases, God's not less likely to answer my prayer because I've got sin in my heart. Now, we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. Doesn't mean that he's not going to allow blessings into your life.
True.
So don't ever get to the point where you think, okay, I understand salvation by grace. I recognize that God doesn't see any good thing in me. But man, God has to answer my prayer because I've been really good this week. Or when God answers your prayer, look, man, I was terrible this week. Maybe I can just keep on being terrible. Don't ever think that you can judge the mind and the thoughts and the actions of God based on what you are doing.
Right.
Salvation didn't have anything to do with you.
Yep.
God's will doesn't have anything to do with what you do.
Right.
You have a choice to be a part of it or not.
Yep.
That's really the only choice that you make.
Right.
Then follow his word and do what he's called you to do and what he's told you to do.
Amen.
But don't get to the point where you treat God like a wishing well after salvation either. Where as long as I'm new, I'm going to be good this week so that I can really get this prayer answered by God. That's not the right attitude.
Yep.
It's not how we should look at God. We have a relationship with him. Sarah, she was obviously not in the right here. She was not in the right. It was God's will. But I don't believe this was the way God wanted that to happen.
Right.
You know, I believe that it would have happened in God's time and God's way. That wouldn't have required a sudden end to everybody rejoicing and praising God for his blessing and for fulfilling his promise to all of a sudden there is a family feud.
Right.
A family feud that continues to this day, I might remind you. You know, and that family feud, although it started back in, you know, chapter chapter 16 with Abraham and Hagar. That's where it first started. That's where the family feud began. But so the family feud was going to happen, but it didn't have to happen this way. It didn't have to come to a T here.
Right.
Now we do know that actually it wasn't even it really wasn't even this decision that caused it. Because a lot of it, we like to point to the fact that, well, you know, the reason that the family feud happened was because, and there's been so many sermons, I've mentioned it as well, that we look to the effect of why this family broke wasn't because of what Sarah did here, although that didn't help. It wasn't because of, it wasn't because even that Abraham and Hagar did what they did. You realize that that wasn't necessarily the reason that God blessed them. You say, well, no, it says here in verse 21, in verse 13, it says, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Say, so see, because Ishmael was born to Abraham, God blessed him. It's true here. But he's not pointing back to I'm second guessing now. Yeah, he's not pointing back to chapter 16 when Abraham and Hagar and Sarah kind of did their thing. Just because the child was born of Abraham doesn't mean that that child was blessed. Because I'll give you a spoiler that Abraham actually lives longer than Sarah. Sarah dies and he gets married again. And he has children by Keturah. We'll see that later in Genesis. All those children were not all made great nations.
Yep.
So just the fact that it was a child born of Abraham didn't necessarily mean that God blessed him. You say, wait, but that's what it just said there in 13. I will make of him a great nation because he is thy seed. For that, you got to go back to chapter 17. Chapter 17 where he says, in verse 18, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. But look at verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. So why did God bless Ishmael? Because Abraham asked. Abraham asked him to. He said, well, wait a second here. No, I've always been taught it was because. No, it wasn't. Abraham had other kids we don't hear about today. We know of two of them. Because Abraham, in his lack of faith here in this moment, I mean, he had just been told. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. God just gave him the promise Sarah is going to have a child. But Abraham, whether lack of faith or being too attached to the blessing of God in Ishmael, he said, oh, God, that Ishmaelite lived before thee. Either way, whether it was a lack of faith or being too attached, so attached to the blessing of God, he was willing to forego the will of God. Whatever reason, God allowed it. You say, wait, Pastor, you just got to saying that God's will is going to be God's will. We have nothing to do with that. Well, God's will still happened. In Isaac, it was called. You know, the Isaac, his seed was called. Great, 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 great. Bunch of greats. Grandchild of Isaac was born a babe in a manger by the name of Jesus Christ. God fulfilled his will.
That's right.
But because Abraham asked here, God granted the request that wouldn't destroy the will of God. But it could also happen in conjunction with the will of God. So we need to be careful.
Right.
In Sunday school, if you're here for Sunday school, we went over the power of prayer. I think sometimes we need to be careful what we pray for.
Right.
Yeah. So wait, no, it's not a wishing will. No, it's not a wishing will. Well, God's going to do what God's going to do. You cannot pray away the will of God. The perfect will of God is going to be done no matter what you do or will not do. What's written in the back of the book will happen. No man can stop that.
Amen.
If God has ordained it, it will happen. You cannot mess up the perfect will of God.
That's right.
But if we read the rest of Romans 12, verse 2, you recognize that ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
There's also good. There's also an acceptable will of God. Now, he's going to do his perfect no matter what. Yep. His complete will of God's going to happen. But everything that happens isn't necessarily part of the perfect will of God.
Right.
If you think that everything that has happened is exactly how it all, then you have to believe that God's perfect will is for sin to have happened. And that God would never have in his perfect will sin.
Right.
It's very simple. So wait, but all things work together for good to them that love God. Yes, that is a promise. It's going to be good. Doesn't matter how much you've messed up. If you come to God and you are called according to his purpose, you accept his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Lord, it will be good one day because the back of the book cannot be changed. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I mean, the back of the book still says that we will end at a point where we are at peace and everything is perfect. That's going to happen. Now, how we get there, we have an effect on that. And based on what we see here, based on this precedent, we can clearly see that it wasn't just the sin of Abraham and the poor choices of Abraham that affected the narrative here, but his prayer. If you don't have the right heart, if you don't have the right attitude when you pray, be careful. So you're telling us not to pray. Oh. I'm saying if you don't know, then pray according to the will of God. You know, I was talking in the Sunday school how, always be thankful for your salvation. And how I had some roommates in college, as well as grew up with some teens, that every single prayer, they would end kind of with the tagline, in Jesus' name, amen. They would add right before that, thank you for my salvation, in Jesus' name, amen. They would add, just thank you for my salvation. And they would do that regularly. It became a really just a tagline. And I actually asked a few of them, when was the last time you were actually thankful for your salvation? You know, there was one time I knew the guy was so, I just knew it was so much a habit. And I asked him, I was like, man, I was just thinking the other day, it's been a while since I thanked the Lord for my salvation. When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation? He's like, it was probably last week sometime. We had just finished praying and he had thanked the Lord for his salvation. But he didn't even realize he had thanked the Lord for his salvation. That's how much. And I kind of smiled at him. I was like, how do you end your prayer? And then he realized it. And yeah, it was fun. You know, he didn't look at me very kindly. Prophet is not without honor save in his own country. So that was, it really was. It was an awkward exchange. But, you know, every now and then, I guess it's the preacher in me had to be a little ornery. But the truth is, it's there. You can get to a point where it's a vain repetition. Now, when I pray, I will often add, if I know that I'm getting into shaky territory, I'm not sure if this is the Lord's will or not, we should have the heart. And it should be a very common thing we pray. Lord, but thy will be done. And not mine. Amen. Jesus prayed it. In fact, in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, obviously that's not supposed to be a vain repetition, but it is the pattern. And the pattern is that we should always pray after the will of God. Abraham obviously didn't do that because he had just heard the will of God and he prayed for something else. That it didn't ruin the will of God, but it didn't help it either. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. As a result, God says, I've heard thee. Now we see this family feud starting to take effect. Ishmael could have just been another prince. No, Abraham asked for the blessing, and he was blessed. And to this day, there's a family feud that has continued hundreds of generations later. You know, we know that well here because it's become a very political thing. Yes, its roots are spiritual, but it's become a very political thing. You know, and I know as a church, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, as far as your, I don't know what your feelings are politically about it, but biblically, the Bible says, those that bless Israel, I will bless thee. And we know that Israel still has a promise. Right. They've been promised that what we are going through here still is in effect today. You say, well, no, I believe that, you know, God has, he's done with Israel. When they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, it was done. I'm sorry, that's covenant theology, and we don't believe that. Because there are things that God promised Israel that have not happened yet. And God will not be a liar. He cannot be a liar. Amen. And so God still has a plan for Israel.
That's right.
And until that plan has been promised and secured and all those promises have been fulfilled,
yep.
The promise that the nations that bless Israel will be blessed by God is still in effect. Because
yep.
They are still God's chosen people.
That's right.
It's Bible. It really is.
Yep.
You can try to explain it away. You can say, well, that's political. No, it's not just political. There's a spiritual truth there. So as a church, we decided, and we're going to put that on our sign because we want to bless Israel.
Amen.
We want them. We want to recognize that God's blessing comes on those who bless his people. But it became a political statement. And as a result, I mean, you could say, some of you are aware, but, you know, I mean, you could see on the side there, if you drove past the church, that, you know, we were targeted for a political reason. Now, you know, some people say, well, that's spiritual persecution because they were, yes, because it was a spiritual reason, but I don't think that they were acting on the part of the devil, you know, to say, well, that's a church. No, they, honestly, they thought we were being political. And so they responded politically. So are you trying to defend them? I'm not defending anyone's actions. Vandalism, criminality, it's always wrong.
Right.
It's not supposed to happen. But I do, in an effort to pray for them and to love them,
yeah.
I recognize that, you know, sometimes, people are not as evil as we want them to, as we want to think they are. And they came... They're a sinner, lost in sin, just like all of us were. And if not for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, who knows what we would be capable of.
Right. True.
And so we are supposed to pray. We're supposed to be accepting of of other ideas, recognizing that the most important idea is that Paul said, I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. So what do you mean? It means that you're supposed to love people where they are, no matter what they're doing. And if you have painted them up to be an enemy, then that's not of God. That's not right. Yes, we are to stand by truth, but we are also supposed to love those who don't. And so we love. And we continue on. But that began back here. This family feud that's causing destruction all over the world, it was based, by all accounts, what we can see, on a misapplied prayer. We need to be careful. Because we are entitled to a great power and opportunity as the children of God. What did Paul say in Corinthians? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels, and ye are not able to judge yourselves? You recognize that. You have a right. We have the right. By the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, if you're saved here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have the right to live free in Christ. You can make choices. You can choose whether or not to follow sin or whether or not to follow the Bible. You can make that choice.
Yep.
We got to stand and say, well, I'm going to live for Christ because I want to. I'm going to recognize that I have great power and that I can choose. But when we choose to do things according to the flesh, when we have the power not to, it is even more detrimental. You know, I don't want to do the superhero line that with great power comes great responsibility, because every superhero origin story says that. But there's truth there. Jesus himself admitted it. Know ye not that I could call 10 legions of angels? He said. He told Peter in the garden, I don't need to be rescued. I'm fully aware that I can rescue myself. But Jesus recognized, even though he had that power to do that, he chose not to, because the will of his Father was supreme.
Right.
When you have the power, when you have the opportunity that God has given you, when you have the blessings of God, because you are a child of God, does not mean that you cannot abuse those blessings. That's still very possible to do.
Yep.
Abraham got too attached to Ishmael.
Yep.
Sarah got too attached to Isaac.
Yep.
The debtor got too attached to the newfound freedom he had. He was no longer under debt. You know, it wasn't so big of a deal for him to get the pence from the other guy when he knew it was just going to go to the Lord who he owed 10,000 to. But when it had been wiped clean, oh, well, now all of a sudden when I get that penny, that's a penny I can use. Sounds kind of like what my heart does sometimes. And I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I can go out and live how I want, because I have easy access to forgiveness. It can be wiped away with a single prayer.
Wow.
They're true. God's going to forgive you no matter how many times you come back to him. If he told Simon Peter, 70 times 7 you should forgive your brother, Jesus will, he will forgive you infinite times.
Yeah.
You can. You can come back to him no matter how far you get away from him. You can come back. That's how good our God is. But the damage you can do to your own heart, and the damage you can do to the testimony of Jesus Christ, because you have that opportunity to come back. If that's the reason, if you're saying, God is good and he'll forgive me and I can just live how I want, if that's your reasoning, then you're too addicted to the blessing of God, and you've forgotten the person who gave you that blessing and what they've done for you and what it cost them. to give you that blessing. Church, we have a lot of good examples from Abraham. I'm glad when God makes a promise, he follows through. But let's not get so attached to the promises. And once those promises are there and they belong to us, don't get so attached that you forget that God still has a plan for you. He has a will that you should follow.
Yep.
You get blessed along the way, praise God.
Yep.
If you don't get blessed along the way, still praise God.
Amen.
Because it's all about God.
Amen.
It's all about right. Him. Every time, didn't matter how close, Abraham was the friend of God, but every time he came back to thinking about himself, man, stuff got messed up. When he was selfish in his desires and he abused his unique standing with God the Father and he used them for his own desires, look at the mess. Let's learn from both Abraham's positive examples in seeking a friendship with God. But never forget that the blessings of God should always be used for the glory of God.
Right.
And not for me.
Yep.
God saved you because he loves you. Don't abuse that because you love you.
Yep.
No, live for him because you love him.
Amen.
It's all about perspective. It's all about the attitude. If we have the right attitude, you won't abuse the liberty and the power that God has given you. Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads.